All right, you're back in the DFSR. You don't know how lucky you are. And we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Monday, June 27th. I'm here with Austin Varney, back after a week off. Austin, how's it going, man?
Good, good. How are you?
Yeah, good. You had an interesting week, right? You caught some baseball this week?
Yeah. Went down to the Cubs game twice, see the Kohler-Hendricks game and the Fernandez-Hamill game.
Yeah, you're a Cubs fan living in Florida.
Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan, so it was probably like the worst series I could have gone to the whole season. But at least I saw one win, and Fernandez, right when he was about to unravel, got pulled and got lucky with Matt Caesar coming up. So, you know, kind of ended up crappy, but at least I saw the one win. I saw a Bryan home run, saw a Contreras home run, so it was pretty fun.
I'm really glad I was watching the game, too, about pronouncing Matt Caesar, because I had been, like, doing some weird, crazy, like, mashup of consonants in there. Like, and I just had never heard his name pronounced before. But I watched it this week, and I was like, oh, good. I'm really glad I heard that. I was going to sound like an idiot if I ever had to talk about him. Yeah, I call – just for everyone out there, Austin and I were supposed to talk at some point this weekend, just kind of plan the week ahead. And I think it was, like, Saturday. He was like, you can call me now, but I'm kind of, like, in a parking lot surrounded by a bunch of dudes that have been partying for kind of a long time. So I'll try to step away. And I was like, you know, don't worry about it. Enjoy the game. And then we kind of bagged it. All right, so anyway, that's our little lead-in. If this is the first time with us, we usually don't talk about baseball escapades to start. We usually start with talking about who we are. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. My name's Doug Norrie. At DFSR.com, we're trying to help you build your DFS lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. You head on over to the site. There's a bunch of free content on there with daily picks articles, stacks, pitchers, weather, news and updates. We've also got a new pretty cool chat feature, live chat, going on all day. The conversation about baseball, you jump in there, you ask us questions. Austin and I are on there. James, our other co-owner of DFSR, is on there. Nick, all of our writers are in there answering questions throughout the day. Just a good place for a little baseball conversation if it's lacking for you. You can also go over and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, where you can take a look at the projections we have for every player on every slate. And if you want to build a lineup, you simply hit calculate and it spits out optimal lineups. You can also lock players in, exclude them, stack, double stack a couple teams, and you're good to go. Free 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And I was actually I was telling Austin offline, I was like using it yesterday, and I'm primarily just a cash game player, but yesterday I was, you know what, I'm going to double stack. I have a little time on my hands. I'll run some double stacks on the early slate, feeling pretty good about myself, and then ended up stacking Eovaldi and Yankees together with a bunch of other things, so you can pretty much figure how that went down. But overall, the lineups for yesterday, the optimal lineups that came out of our system just with no filters attached, pretty much crushed on FanDuel and DraftKings. It was Oliver Fernandez on FanDuel. It had Fernandez on DraftKings as well. Had a bunch of bats in there. Had Trout. Had Oswaldo Arcia as a really low-owned player who went crazy. So overall, good day. But it's DFS. We move on to Monday. Got a somewhat of a shorter slate going on the Monday evening tonight, which we're going to break down. We'll talk about the pitchers, and we will talk about some of the bats to target here today. Austin, I don't know, what are your feelings when there's a game in Coors? Are you a fan of when there's a game in Coors, or would you rather they just play all the games somewhere else?
I think it really depends on who's pitching. With a guy like Estrada and Gray, Gray's a pretty good pitcher, and Marco Estrada has a problem with giving up the long ball. So in this type of scenario, I do like the game in Coors, but when it's two guys that are, you know, ground ball pitchers, and of course they can get exploited, but there's also a chance that they throw a gem and everyone's 40% owned. It is a little scary. And in tournaments, I like it because a lot of other good stacks are going to be completely low owned. Like today, I expect the Cubs to be lower owned than they should. I expect the Rangers and Yankees to be very low owned. So I guess it just really depends on the specific game.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like an opportunity cost thing. And I guess the question was probably too broad because I tend to just trend my thinking toward cash games because that's primarily like 90% of those. So that's really where my brain goes all the time. And it's always such a dicey proposition to think about like what the ownership levels are going to be on these guys because the prices are corrected. Anyway, we'll get into the specifics of the plays in a little bit. Let's start with pitching. So whenever the other issue with Coors is that the prices jump pretty significantly whenever a game goes on in there, and whenever we have higher priced pitchers, we need to make some decisions about is where are we going to spend our money. We simply cannot play the top tier guys and bats coming out of Denver. Where are you looking? Let's start with the top tier guys, though. Where are you looking for pitcher here?
I think pitching is pretty cut and dry today with a few guys that are interesting. I think Arrieta's obviously, I think, the top option, just projection-wise, not factoring in price. Taking on the Reds, the Cubs used a bunch of bullpen arms against the Marlins, so he's going to be – Madden's going to expect, you know, at least 7 or 8 innings out of Arrieta. And with only – I'm looking at 2 or 3 lefties for the Reds today and a 3.10 run total, I mean, I don't really see how anyone else is the top guy.
My only issue with Arrieta – And I think he's great, obviously. I do think he's like a little overrated. Just okay. And I want you to take this with a grain of salt. I know you're a Cubs fan also, but I think Arrieta is considered to be like on a Kershaw level, and he's just not. And he's priced as if he is. And so that's what I mean by overrated. Like I don't mean he's clearly better than, you know, 90% of the pitchers in baseball, but he's priced like he's a top 1%er. And that's the only thing that scares me about him. Like, his K rate is 9.8, which is good. His walk rate is actually spiking a little bit now, and which is kind of crushing his long-term upside in terms of how long he can go in games. Like, his walk rate is over 3/9 right now, which is worse than his career numbers, which were already not so great. And he has the low ERA at 1.74, but the xFIP is 3.13. Those are the things that just scare me off him a little bit. It's not, again, it's not that I don't think he's great. It's just that I don't think he's tip of the mountain top great.
Yeah, I actually do agree. I've had plenty of arguments with Cubs fans with, you know, advanced statistics and stuff. Well, they'll reference these things and try and say Arrieta is better than Kershaw. And I usually, him as like a Fernandez type of guy.
Yeah, I would say Fernandez too.
Especially in DFS. Mm-hmm. Fernandez isn't as consistent as he is, but in DFS, they're kind of the same guy to me.
And you know, Arrieta's gifted a better offense behind him typically, which helps him, is going to help him on the win. He has 11 wins, and that's a big part of that. He's been great, don't get me wrong, but the 11 wins are also a big part of the offense behind him. I mean, if you look at some numbers for him, the BABIP against is 244, which is really low, which strikes me as very lucky. The other number is an 82% left on base percentage. And when you combine low BABIP, you know, balls aren't sneaking through, with just getting to leave guys on base because runners aren't squeaking through, then you can run into problems. Anyway, I love him. I think he's going to end up as probably the chalk play on FanDuel, though it's going to be closer than I would have thought going in. But that's some of my hesitation on Arrieta.
Yeah, and I know he's really a cash game play. That's who he is, you know, and a tournament play. But I think I am going to have him more in tournaments with lower owned stacks that are a little bit cheaper. Because if you're going to plug in Arrieta in your cash games, your Coors exposure is going to have to be very limited, which I'm almost comfortable done. With.
Right.
So
you're going to really struggle to get bats in really more than probably 2 quality bats, unless there's some kind of crazy lineup shakeup out of Toronto or Colorado. They move somebody, like someone that just never plays, up to the top of the order. Ryan Goines or something like that. Like if one of those guys and it's not going to happen, but for some reason snuck to the top, you are going to struggle to get, especially on FanDuel, really more than 2 bats out of Coors in there. After Arrieta, though, let's say I want to spend down a little bit. Is there a cheaper option that strikes you as even on the safe side that I could do if I wanted to do any cash games?
I think the next two guys are Samardzija and Bauer.
Mm-hmm.
I think Samardzija has a little more safety just because he's a better pitcher.
Right.
And the Athletics are, you know, they're pretty bad. But I think Bauer is going to be kind of popular. They're taking on the Braves, and they don't really strike out that much against righties. But Bauer is a good strikeout pitcher, so I'm sure he'll end up somewhere between 5 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And against that lineup, it's just so bad. I mean, we're probably going to target him the whole year unless they trade for someone, which isn't going to happen. And I don't know. I think in cash games, it's a good way to get someone a little bit lower priced, and you're able to get more exposure to, you know, the Coors game.
I agree with you. I think his ownership levels will be a little higher than usual because of that other game. And I'm with you for all the reasons you said about Atlanta. It's really hard for them to put together great big innings because they just don't have the bats at all. So you can get out of jams even with them because there's so few bats in the lineup that scare you. Bauer, you know, the K rate's okay. He has some control issues at times. Better, probably around average xFIP at 3.87. That might be a little better than average. I need to look up what the exact average is on that. But yeah, I think that he ends up he makes the conversation with Arrieta interesting on FanDuel, not on DraftKings. On DraftKings, yeah. Bauer's price is, I think it was like 12 or something. Let me just look.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's 12-8. That's ridiculous. You cannot do it. 12-8 for Bauer on DraftKings is a total non-starter. Even 13-7 for Arrieta on DraftKings is pushing is pushing it. What do you think about Syndergaard today?
I know his test came back negative, but that just, I don't know, it scares me a little bit. Whenever I see a pitcher with arm soreness with guys like Arrieta on the mound, I'd rather, you know, just pay up to them. Although in tournaments, I do see the merit. I mean, Nationals strike out a ton. He really only has two guys to get past in Harper and Murphy. And once he's past them, Ramos, Zimmerman, Rendon, they all strike out a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So I do see the merit. But I think the Astros-Angels game, I think a lot of people are going to target that with pitching.
With Shoemaker?
Yeah, and I think a little bit of McHugh, too.
Interesting. Yeah, the Angels spent a weekend with a run line, get it creeping up higher than usual, and I just couldn't figure out totally, like, why. I mean, like, they had some decent matchups for sure, but they're still just not a very good team. And, you know, when you're hitting, like, Johnny Giovitella at the top of your lineup, and, right, like, I know they have Trout, but after them, they just kind of fall off a cliff. I know we're going to end up, well, this is interesting because we're just going to end up mentioning every single pitcher here and then just be like, well, we'll get one of them right when we name them all. But the other guy that I think, and this is going to be sort of lineup dependent for me, is Joe Ross. The Mets yesterday threw out a lineup that was just truly dreadful. It was something, and like, when Bud Norris goes 7 innings and 8 Ks against your team, you have thrown out, you know, the equivalent of a AAA team or possibly worse. Yeah. And Norris looked like a Cy Young Award winner yesterday, and he stinks. So Joe Ross, if the Mets were to throw out another similar lineup, like, I know that, I think they gave Granderson a day off, but I think they batted like Kelly Johnson first, Matt Reynolds second, and that's just not a viable major league lineup. So if you saw a similar lineup come out of the Mets today where it's really maybe, you know, they sent Conforto down, dude is hurt. So I would take a look at that Mets lineup today, and if it looks even partially like what yesterday's looked like, I would really consider Joe Ross, because that lineup ends up becoming like a Braves lineup pretty quickly without some of their other guys. So I think there's a decent amount of pitching options to look at. I'm really going to be monitoring some how lines move today and how lineups come in. That's going to be a priority for me when it comes to who am I targeting on the mound, just because I kind of just need, you know, it's 9:30 a.m. right now, Eastern time, so we're well far away from lineups. This is one I'm going to really monitor because I don't think any of these guys are set in stone for me.
No, I don't either. And if I'm going to throw out like a crazy one, I think I might target in tournaments is Vincent Velasquez. He used to be like really good at the start of the year, and he's fallen off a ton.
This his first back game start back from injury?
I think it's his second. I could be wrong, but I think it's his second.
Okay, we'll look
that
up.
And the Diamondbacks, they have the potential to strike out a ton. Their lineup really isn't that good. They're in Chase Field, which is obviously the worry, and he's not even close to a cash game play.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see him going out and having a good game with like 11 strikeouts and 6 innings or something stupid.
I just want to take a look at him. I'll put it in the show notes at the end about Velasquez and what game this is for him, and then also if he's going to be on a pitch count or not. All right, let's get to some of the bats today. Obviously, we have Coors going. That's always the beginning and sometimes the end of the conversation in terms of offense to target. But we'll go position by position. I guess we can make some easy assumptions about who the top raw points are going to be, though it's going to be worth mentioning them all. Where are you going when it comes to catcher?
I do think Russell Martin is a good option, but I don't think he's going to be my top. I think my top two is probably going to be Brian McCann and Wilson Contreras. One for Brian McCann, Chichi Gonzalez is horrible.
Right.
And in that short portion, right, he always, you know, I'd much rather play him in New York. I saw some crazy stat, which I don't remember right now, the broadcasters were saying the other game, but he's hit someone like 80% of his home runs at home since signing with the Yankees. And Contreras, I don't really love him against Straley because Straley's pretty good against righties. But once that bullpen comes in, they can't pitch versus righties, lefties, anyone. So him hitting hopefully fourth or fifth in Great American Ballpark, I could see him continuing his killer. On DraftKings, though, he's way too expensive. On FanDuel, $3,000, I think he's awesome.
Yeah, there's some big differences in pricing today. Like McCann is more expensive than Martin on DraftKings, so I would clearly go Russell Martin in that case at 4,100. McCann's at 48. You know, I don't mind Miguel Montero coming really cheap, if he is catching. I know they kind of rotate their who's behind the dish. I think day-to-day basis, but he's only 2,200 on FanDuel, and he gets that ready. He would get that ready lefty matchup for Straley in a good ballpark, and I think he went yard over the weekend, I'm pretty sure. So he – those are the I'm probably with you, and those are the four guys that I'm targeting, and it's going to be somewhat site-dependent and also a little bit of batting lineup-dependent where they come in. I think McCann ends up being sort of the chalky play just because of the price on FanDuel. And I'm going to probably end up taking a sort of wait-and-see approach on DraftKings because these guys are pretty expensive. You know, all of them are over 4,000, and that's just a lot to pay for just about any catcher. So, and yeah, I think I'll probably take a wait-and-see there. Not a ton of other cheaper options really stand out to me, though Montero only 3,400 on DraftKings.
What do you think of Molina, Yadier Molina, against Danny Duffy?
You know, Molina is like so low ceiling, I think, because he just doesn't have much power. Duffy's decent. I probably wouldn't do it. You're probably mentioning it because of the DraftKings price, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't think so. I just don't think – it's just not a great matchup for him. I just don't think Molina has really that much to offer. Contact, but very little power. I don't know. If he moved up in the order, maybe, but I'm not seeing it. Let me let's walk on to first base. Who are we going here? Are the Toronto Bats or even anyone from Colorado worth paying up for here, or are you going a little cheaper?
I think a lot of people are not going to pay for Encarnacion because they see Gray's pretty good against righties.
Yep.
But Encarnacion is really good against righties. And in that ballpark, with his power, really, he has to hit a pop-up. I mean, really, that's what he has to do with his power. If he hits one 300 in Toronto, that's gone. And he's the type of guy that just hits two home runs randomly, and it's no big deal. But my top guy is probably going to be Rizzo against Straley in that bullpen, who has one lefty, only comes in the ninth inning if the Reds are winning. And if that happens, the Cubs are likely not going to do anything anyway. So Rizzo would probably be my top guy in cash, but Encarnacion is really, really close. And do you think he'll be highly owned?
Encarnacion?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so. I think for the reasons you said, 4,800 is really getting steep for him. Yeah. Even with the ballpark, it's a pretty big price correction. You know, Rizzo at about 10% cheaper on FanDuel with almost as good a park. I mean, Great American Ballpark is a great hitter's park. And yeah, not close. I mean almost to say that like it's probably the next closest, but it is still below course in terms of just power, especially I think power for lefties. I don't know. I don't think Encarnacion will be heavily owned just because that 4,800 is really – it scares you with that price. It's committing a lot for – on the really, you need a bit of a home run at that point. One thing that's interesting on FanDuel, and I think this is a somewhat recent thing. I don't think they've been doing it all season. It's pretty clear, though, that they've heavily corrected their prices now based on pitching matchup. So yes. I don't know if you noticed, but like Votto is 2,200. I know he's playing Arrieta, but 22. I mean, Votto is like a top 15 hitter in the league, probably maybe a little lower. But
and Arrieta is not invincible,
right? Like we said before, Arrieta's issue, one of his issues is he does walk guys, right? And so, you know, that walk rate over 3, Votto is about as patient as it gets when it comes to facing other opposing pitchers. 2,200 for him, I would play him, definitely if I'm not playing Arrieta. Votto walks like 15% of the time. I know he does strike out a little bit more this year, 25%, but 2,200, it's a punt play. And I just think it's interesting. I think it's an overcorrection by FanDuel to do this. You know, you saw the Pirates guys were all like 2,000 yesterday against Kershaw. I don't know if this is necessarily the right way to go, but though it does make you think a little bit more. And if their goal is to make the decisions closer, maybe that is the way to go. What do you think? Could you stomach rostering Votto?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you want to roster Samardzija, who is up there a little bit, and you also want to get some Coors exposure, there's really, I mean, Encarnacion, of course. But Votto is, I don't know, in just almost as good of a spot as all the other first basemen outside of Encarnacion and Rizzo. And that price, I don't know. I mean, Arrieta is likely going to pitch 7 innings. He very rarely will go shutout. I mean, he usually gives up at least 1 or 2 runs and mistakes. And there's no one really else in that lineup that I could see doing it. Maybe him, maybe Bruce. So, I don't know. I could see him connecting with the one in Great American.
Yeah, it's interesting that the decision is still close, but anyway, yeah, it's worth mentioning. Fielder's another guy coming cheap if you want some power upside in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I think two guys I'd like to mention. I don't mind the pitchers in this game, as I mentioned, but A.J. Reed got called up for the Astros. He's a big prospect. He's taking on Shoemaker. He's only 2.9 on DraftKings, so I could see him, you know, just throwing him out there in a cash game if you're trying to get a bunch of Coors exposure in a pretty good pitchers because, you know, he has plenty of upside. And the other guy is Jeffrey Marte, who's, I don't know, he's kind of weird, but McHugh has all blow up innings all the time. So if he runs into one right behind Trout and Pujols, I could see it.
Yeah, Marte's a guy I rostered like all weekend on FanDuel because he was coming at 2,000, and I think he ran up against a couple lefties. All right, yeah. Let's move on. We've been mentioning this is your first time. We typically actually don't really usually mention this many guys in the given podcast, which is it just speaks to that the decisions are a little closer today. But we'll roll through some of the other positions here maybe a little quicker to get you out of here under maybe 30, 35 minutes. All right, second base. This one I struggled to find a lot of things coming to the top for me, but maybe you can change my mind here. What do you look at second base?
It's tough for me, but I think my top option is probably going to be Forsyth against Rodriguez. He's really not had a good year this year, but Forsyth has hit lefties really well over the course of the last four or five years. So I think he'll be pretty low owned, and I do wish he was in Fenway, but you know he's likely going to be hitting leadoff against a lefty. So he'll probably be my cash game option. And then other than that, I like Zobrist. I like LeMahieu. I really don't like LeMahieu, but I like him tonight. I like Zobrist. And I think Whit Merrifield is like the most surprising guy of the year so far. And I don't think anyone's going to roster him against Wainwright because of the name factor. So I guess I could see that guy too.
Yeah, I'll go back to Forsyth for a minute. The only reason I disagree with you on Forsyth only because I think the ownership percentage on FanDuel will be up there. 2,800 hitting leadoff against the lefty in a decent park. I think that's I think people will play him. I could see him playing like 30-35% cash games, something like that.
If I think that, then no, I won't have any of them.
Oh, in terms of tournaments?
Yeah, I wouldn't touch him in tournaments with that ownership. I mean, he's not that good of a hitter.
No, I agree with you. I just think the price is going to suck. The price and the leadoff and the splits will suck you in on him. Yeah, it's hard. After second base, I'm with you because LeMahieu is just like not very good. He just happens to hit in cores. Devin Travis got bumped down to the bottom of the lineup, so his price is going to be not really in play, even going in that stadium. Whit Merrifield's funny because I think he's been hitting leadoff, which always helps a guy's plate appearance expectation. Yeah, I don't mind some of those guys. I don't mind Kipnis against Gant, I think, if just as a sort of an off-board play. Second base is weird. Like, there's just not a ton of guys. And that's why I think at least Forsyth on FanDuel will be played because a lot of these other guys are so underwhelming when it comes to just looking at their overall matchups and whatnot, and the prices just don't strike you as super cheap. But I think it's, Forsyth on FanDuel and then DraftKings. Again, it ends up becoming a wait and see for me because – you know, someone could creep up and hit near the top of the lineup. But the cheaper options just don't look that enticing. Let's hit it. Let's hit shortstop. Can you pay up for Tulo in Coors today, or do you need to look somewhere else? Let me rephrase. Can you pay up for Tulo or Story, or do you need to look somewhere else?
On FanDuel, I think you can if you just go pay down a little bit. They're not too expensive, 3.6, 3.8. But I think I'm going to. My top guy is going to be someone else at 3.8, and Xander Bogaerts. Mm-hmm. He has mutilated lefties this year with a 4.32 wOBA, and no, it's not sustainable. He has a very high BABIP, but until that starts to go down, I mean, even when it goes down, he's still around 3.80. So against Snell, who is a good prospect, he really has been a little bit shaky against righties this year. So I really like Bogaerts, especially if you think he's going to be lower owned, which I kind of do. But I think the guys in Coors are spectacular plays, obviously.
Yeah, Bogaerts ends up becoming cheaper than, I think, all three. No, excuse me. He's the same as Tulo. I probably – it's really close. Tulo and Bogaerts are the same price. It's close for me. I think I probably – actually, it's really just close for all three of those guys.
Yeah, very, very close.
Right. Those three guys really stand out. I think you probably end up having to play, at least on FanDuel, having to play one of them because the drop-off after them is pretty steep. Yeah. Although I guess if like Javier Baez could get into the top 5 or 6 slot, possibly.
P.D. Gregorius is only 4.9K on DraftKings, so hey.
that's so stupid. What a stupid price. He's more expensive than Bogaerts, Lindor, Correa, Tulo. Someone messed up. That makes no sense at all. Baez, if he could get up there, he's interesting. Our system's always been a little bullish on him, so I always get a little wary because I think it's really highlighted him probably a little bit more than it should this season. But the shortstop, I think you're going to end up rostering one of those top three guys because you'll find some savings elsewhere, and I'm just not sure the savings is here. On to third base, kind of the same question with Arenado and Donaldson. Both of them are steep, over 5,400 plus on DraftKings. And just a quick glance, 5,000 for Donaldson on FanDuel, 46 on for Arenado. Worth it to pay up for these guys or somewhere else?
I think worth it, probably worth it, but possible if you're trying to get an optimal lineup. I don't think so. I think just taking a glance at this, I just saw the Yankees line just went over 5.
Yep.
So I think A-Rod makes for a really interesting play. I think Bryant makes for a really good play. So they're so expensive that I don't know if it would be worth it. You know, if you look at it independently, yeah, those prices, I mean, they might end up hitting a home run. And then, great. But Michael Franco on FanDuel is really cheap. He has a good shot at hitting a home run against Robbie Ray in Chase Field. Chris Bryant, probably going to end up with as many home runs as these guys.
You mean for the season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And against Straley in that bullpen, as I mentioned, they're just atrocious. So I like Bryant a lot. I like Evan Longoria a lot against a lefty. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of options at third that you could go with.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I think unlike shortstop, the options are there for you to get away a little bit cheaper. All the guys you mentioned, I'm on board with. Bryan falls into that same Rizzo category where good ballpark, decent run expectation, and just coming, you know, 10% or more, 20% less. And whenever that's the case, you know, just points per dollar wise, this is going to be every day is an every dollar counts kind of day. But yeah. This one is whenever there's a Coors game, it is especially stark when that every dollar counts. And I have no problem taking the discount for him. And like, yeah, Longoria is a guy that also falls into that Forsyth range where nice lefties. He's an extreme platoon split guy for his career. You can roster him down at 3,600. I don't even mind throwing a little Tampa Bay stack. I know they strike out a lot, but just sort of off board. That's not the worst place to go if they can sneak a couple over the monster. Let's finish it off with the outfield. Obviously, sort of the same situation. The four main targets in Coors would be Cargo, Blackman, Saunders, I guess Ezekiel Carrera. Though, I mean, I know he hits leadoff. But any of these guys worth it for you on a day like today? Or are we, again, maybe looking somewhere else?
I think Cargo is probably the top guy I have.
Yeah.
Saunders scares me a little bit just because, I mean, I know he's a really good hitter, but I don't know if his game is really tailored to Coors. I think he's more of a hit home runs when it happens. Mm-hmm. I don't think he really goes for it. The team that I'm going to look at for outfield is probably going to be the Cubs with Hayward and Coughlin. I really, really like both of those guys. If Barnhart's back there, he struggles throwing out runners. Hayward can run. Hayward can hit home runs in this park. He almost had one yesterday if stupid Stan didn't hit the wall, but and then the Yankees and Cubs are probably going to be the two teams that I look at a lot for outfield.
Interesting. So Cargo, I think, is going to be a pretty chalk play, at least on FanDuel at 4,100. He comes in lower price than the other three or four guys that I mentioned in that park. And I think just for that reason, and it's correct, right? Like he's a great hitter. He has a pretty good matchup because with Estrada, and I think he ends up becoming pretty chalk game. Let me put it this way. Of all the players coming out of Coors today on FanDuel, if I'm going to pay up for Arrieta, then Cargo would be one of the guys I would almost definitely roster for cash games. Yes. I don't know who that second or third player would be right now, but he would be definitely, he'll be on, I suspect on FanDuel, something like 50% owned, maybe.
Yeah, which is worrisome for tournaments with other guys in the outfield with just as much upside.
I totally agree with you. You can definitely get away from him there on some of the guys you mentioned. You said Yankees bats. Are you talking like Ellsbury and Gardner?
Ellsbury, Gardner, Beltran. If they're hitting 1-2-3 against Chi-Chi Gonzalez, I don't know. Those guys, they're really weird to roster because they all have power. And Gardner and Ellsbury somewhat have speed, but they'll get on base like 4 times and not run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty infuriating when you stack them. But, you know, they also have the upside where Ellsbury gets on, steals second, Gardner hits him in, steals second, then Beltran hits one out. Which they did a ton last year. They haven't really done it much this year, but I do really like the upside of that.
All three of those guys fall into like the sneak the ball over the wall category for me.
Yeah.
They definitely have had some of their power boosted by just getting a ball elevated in the Yankee Stadium and just having it scrape over the wall, which helps when you have that short porch. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that it's a 39 for Beltran, 34 for Ellsbury, 36 for Gardner. Not super, super cheap,
no.
But you can definitely run a stack with all three of them in there pretty easily, all things considered, and the power expectation is there. Let me give you a couple quick this guy or this guy today in the outfield, because there's so many outfield plays to consider. It can be hard to touch on all of them. And again, as a reminder here, this is where our system helps sort of take care of these edge decisions, because it has factored in all the things that you would want to factor in when you're doing your research. So, you know, if you get the free 3-day trial or you're just a premium member, you can see how a lot of this just breaks down, even when it's a little bit close. But I'll give you a couple guys. You tell me this guy or that guy. On FanDuel, they're pretty similarly priced, $4,300 for Trout or $4,200 for Betts, Mookie Betts.
I think I'd go with Betts in both cash games and tournaments. I do think so. Snell, as I mentioned, he is probably going to end up being a one or two in this league, but he struggled a little bit since coming up. And Mookie, I'm not going to say he's close to as good as a hitter as Trout, but he has as much upside as him, especially in this matchup. The degrees in LA went down a little bit. It's looking like it's going to be around 80, which is down from the 100 that it was near, you know, a couple of this last week.
Mm-hmm.
So McHugh is decent versus righties. He does blow up a lot. So if Trout's able to just get him in one of those innings with, and Calhoun and Escobar gets on base and he hits a double, it could be one of those, you know, two double games for Trout where he drives in five. But I think Mookie would be the guy I'd go with.
Interesting. Yeah. I think I'd probably go with Mookie too, because
really
just because the team run total is a little bit better, but our system is
and
a one off
on road. So they get nine guaranteed innings of batting. So
yeah, that's true. I think I mentioned before that the game was in Fenway, sneaking a ball over the wall in Fenway. I apologize for that. The game's in Tampa Bay. Oh, I didn't? Oh, whatever. If I did, everyone can just save the hate for me. I corrected myself before we got out of the podcast. Okay, let me give you another one. Shin-Soo Chu for $3,300 in Yankee Stadium or Ellsbury for $3,400 in Yankee Stadium?
I think it's probably going to depend on the catcher for the Rangers. If Holiday's in there, I'd probably go with Chu because he's not going to be able to run on him.
But you mean Ellsbury won't be able to run? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but if it is Chirinos, he's pretty easy to run on. And I'd probably go with Ellsbury. Chu does have much more power. All he's got to do is slap one to right and it's out. That one, they're probably like even with me. I think if I'm going to have another Yankee bat in there, I'd go with Ellsbury. But if I'm just looking for a one-off, I'd probably go with Chu. And on FanDuel, I'd pay down to Mazzara.
All right, last one, DraftKings. Both coming in that lower 3K range, like Jennings against Rodriguez, or do you like Coughlin?
I think it's going to come down to a lot of lineup spot. If either one of those guys moves up substantially to, you know, fifth, fourth, third, then I'd go with that guy because it is very close. But, you know, everything equal right now, I think Coughlin against this bullpen, they're on the road, so they get nine innings. Desmond hitting sixth in the projected lineup I see. I do like him against Eduardo Rodriguez. But that bullpen's a lot better than the Reds is, and I don't expect either starting pitcher to be in for that long. So for that reason, I'd probably go with Coughlin.
Yeah, interesting. I think Coughlin, they did hit leadoff at some point over the weekend,
yep.
And I don't know if they do that again with Fowler out, but that's one thing. Yeah, that's one. Those are the situations I just love, when teams can just move a guy up like that. So I'll play a wait-and-see approach on that one. But if Coughlin snuck to the top of the order, then he'd be clearly the play there. All right, I think we pretty much covered it today. Covered everything I think you need to know. We broke down a ton of guys, bunch of pitchers. The decisions are closer today. I don't think it's totally crystal clear yet here at, you know, 10 a.m. in the morning about where we're going to go, though I think we have some lanes chosen, and we're going to be working things in as, you know, the lines shift and lineups come out during the rest of the day. Remember to head over to dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short. You take a look at all the free content we've put out today. You jump into the chat room. I'll be in the chat room for most of the day today answering questions or, you know, taking hate if you think I screwed something up on the podcast today. I know Austin has been in and out of there. A bunch of other guys are in and out of there. The conversation's pretty robust, and we're pretty excited about that new feature. You also grab a free 3-day trial to the projection system powered by Lineup Lab. Take a look at all the projections we have for every player. Click optimal lineups, make tournament stacks if that's as your heart desires. And we got you pretty much covered for everything you need for FanDuel and DraftKings. Austin, man, take it easy. I think we'll talk again maybe later on this week.